Okay, our daf today is Yud Zayin. Start with Rufuach Shlemot. Dvorah Batina, Oz Avram Shema, Ben Chana, Karmi Banim, Orli Penina Bat Rachel Frida, Chaya Malka, Esther Bat Zippora, Daniel Ben Miriam Chaya Rut, Yosef Ben Rachel, Leah Bat Rivka, Avram Mordechai Ben Leah. We're in the middle of discussing this, the last thing we did, we're trying to explain this, b'fanai nechtav, all these bizarre cases where two say this and one says that. And then we were having this issue about what happens if two people bring a get. Do you have to say b'fanai nechtav? So we're on Itmar Nami. It also says, this is just proving where we ended yesterday, that Amarav Yehuda, Shnayim Sheviu get me Medina Hayam, Banu l'machloket Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. The Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan have a machloket about this, and it's the same, that's the issue. The issue of two people bringing get me Medina Hayam, it's a machloket Tanaim. Okay, whether you have to say b'fanei nechtav, we're going to see more of this later today. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Chalash. Okay, now we have a story about Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, he got sick. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi come up. There's many stories given like this where two people, people go to visit a rabbi who's sick. And while they're there, obviously they start asking him questions. He's obviously not sick enough that he can't be asked questions. So okay, this clearly was a question that, no one can get around, right? Do you or don't you? Amar lahem. Ein srichim. He says very simply, they do not need to say it. And what's the reason? Ma ilu yomru b'faneinu gersham milo mehemne. If those two shlichim who brought the get went into court and testified just that the woman was divorced, would the court believe them? Sure they would. Two edim who come and say anything, right, are believed. So if those two witnesses walk into court and say, this woman is divorced, they believe them. If that's the case, well, then obviously they don't need to say b'fanei nechtav, right? Because they themselves can function as witnesses to say that she's divorced. So if they're bringing the get, it's almost like that's testimony enough that she's divorced if they're bringing the get themselves. So he says two people, no need. Okay? Now we have a total, since they're telling the story, they're just going to tell us something else that happened in the story. Adahachi atau chabara. Okay, in the meantime, a Parsi guy came. Okay, a chabara. Okay, there's all sorts of words they call the Parsim, they call them migoshim. We've seen this word before. They seem to believe that these people did some magic stuff also. They're all these things. They're generally perceived as very negative. We're going to see particularly from this source. Shakla l'shraga mikamayhu. And they took the candle away from them. Okay, they took away their candle. Rashi explains that the Persians had a holiday. And on their holiday, you couldn't light candles outside their house of Avodah Zarah. Like all the candles that were lit had to be lit in their Beit Avodah Zarah. How people functioned without, candles, lights, I don't really know. So they took away the candle that was there. Amar, so what did Rabbi Bar Bar Chana say? Rachmana, o betulcha, o betula debar esav. He said, either, like, hide me in your shadow or in the shadow of the Bavlim. Okay? I'd rather the Aromaim, which they say are the Bavlim, I'd rather be in the Bnei Esav. I'd rather be under their jurisdiction or your jurisdiction rather than the Parsim. In other words, I hate these Parsim.
Yeah, treat us respectfully.
Who treat us respectfully. Okay, so we'll see. Right, well, that's what they're going to say right now. Lememra daro. Right, because they're calling them. Right, it's interesting. They talk about them as Bnei Bavel, but they're also Romaim, because now they're saying Aromai Malumi Parsai. Now the Gemara is going to say, Lememra, Daromai Malumi Parsai. Are you saying the Romaim were better than the Parsim? Okay, the Esav, because they're kind of mixing this with, I thought they also were referring to it as the Bavlim. So I don't know why they're calling, one second. Yeah, no, I guess it's the Romaim, not the Bavlim. I don't know why I thought it was the Bavlim. Okay, so it's the Romaim. So I'd rather be in the hands of the Romaim, the Bnei Esav. So they're saying, are you saying the Roma'im are better than the Parsi'im, right? In general, we don't really see the Roma'im as such great guys in the time of the Gemara. V'hatane, Rabbi Chia, doesn't Rabbi Chia say, my dechtiv, Elohim hevin darka, v'hu yadat mekoma? How did they darshan that pasuk? Okay, it's a pasuk from Iyov. Yodea kadosh baruch hu b'Yisrael, she'en yucholim lekabel gzeirat aromayim, ama v'higlau tam lebavel. Okay, so now it says, right? Oh, that's why I got confused with the Bavelim, because it brings them up. But it means, right, it's they can't accept the gzerot of the Roma'im, and therefore he sent them to Bavel. And isn't Bavel where the Parsi'im are? So in other words, it sounds like the Parsi'im are better than the Roma'im. So how could this be? So now, what does it say? No. Lokashia hamakame denetu chabare lebavel and had batar da'atu chabare lebavel. Before the chabarim came to Bavel, that's when the pasuk was said. They better get away from the Roma'im and go to the Bavelim. But later, the chabarim, the Parsi'im, came to Bavel, the Persians. And once that happened, then this pasuk is no longer, the drasha on this pasuk is no longer accurate. Okay? In other words, it all depends on historically what was going on. And the Bavelim at an earlier point were better than the Parsi'im and better than the Roma'im. At this point, the Roma'im were better than the Bavelim because the Bavelim were full of Parsi'im and they took over, right? And it's based on, right, in history, who took over when. And now, obviously, things are worse. Okay? This is like a very Gemara-type answer to a question that has absolutely nothing to do with halacha, right? It's like they take this story and they take it apart in a very Gemara-type way. Okay? And they answer, lo kashya, don't worry, right? This, that, that. Okay. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu, oh, sorry, I skipped the quote from the Mishnah. Echad omer b'fanai nechtav. Now we're on the very last line, okay? Until now we've been dealing with all the cases of psulim. That's why I said if you have the sheet from yesterday, you can see we're on all these, right? We went through yesterday cases number 5 and 6 for the most part. Now we're going to get to case number 7 and then compare it a little bit back to the other cases. Okay, in this sugya right now, what's going to happen is it's very similar to yesterday's sugya, where we're going to have the sugya happen come about in one way. We're going to hear Rabbi Ami say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan something. And then we're going to say that there were other times when he came before him and Rabbi Ami said something the opposite. And then they're going to try to say, well, you know, they're going to ask Rabbi Ami, but didn't you say this last time? Okay, instead of it being two versions of what did he actually say, this is he actually said this and then he actually said the opposite. Okay, and then we're going to try to figure out what the story is. So echad omer b'fanai nechtav, if one says b'fanai nechtav, u'shnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtam, but two people say it was signed before us, kasher. Now, if you remember, our whole question yesterday is, who are the shlichim here? Is there one shaliach, are there two shlichim, or all three of them shlichim? And as we know, there's three people. One person says b'fanai nechtav. Two other people come and say b'fanai nechtav. The question is, who are the shlichim? So comes Rabbi Ami, and he says, I'm Rabbi Ami, he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela shehaget yotze mitachat yad ed ktiva. It must be that the shaliach was the one who said b'fanai nechtav, and then two other witnesses who weren't the shlichim said b'fanai nechtam. And why does that work? Because the ed ktiva, right? What's he? Na'asu kishnayim alze u'kishnayim alze. That's one. The shaliach comes and says b'fanai nechtav. We treat that as if two witnesses said it, right? Because we allow one. Remember, that's the whole chidush here. One person could say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. So the first guy who said b'fanai nechtav is treated as two. Then we have two witnesses that verify the signatures. So perfect. We don't have to worry about ati lechlufi b'kium shtaro be'ed echad, another kium shtaro will think we're done with ed echad because there's two edim. So we're fine. Okay? Now, here comes the kunz. Alma kasavar, therefore, it must be that he hold, because he says this. Okay, so wait. Sorry, I skipped the next line. Aval, go back one line, sorry. Mitachat yidei edei chatima pasul. But if you had one witness say, just pass the tissue, I can erase the board. If one person says b'fanai nechtav, and he's not the shaliach, right? Okay? And two people, let's say, okay, so we have the ktiva and we have the chatima. So we have one on the ktiva and two on the chatima. So right now we said that the one is the shaliach. The shaliach, and therefore he's considered like two. And then we have two who are not shlichim, right? Lo shlichim. Okay?
But they're
edim, so they're fine. But if we had it Okay, the case they're bringing now, if we had mitachat yedei edei chatima, that the two people were the shlichim, and the one person was not the shaliach, right?
Well, he's not good enough to be an eid.
Right, exactly. Lo hashaliach, right? Then what would happen? This would be no good entirely. You follow? That's what they're inferring, okay? Whether you need to infer that or not is a separate question. But that's what they're saying. They're saying, this guy's the shaliach, the other two are not the shlichim, and if it was hafuch, right, and that's why it's kasher, but if it were the opposite, and they were the shlichim, and he was just saying, b'fanai nechtav, and he wasn't the shaliach, we wouldn't believe him, right? Because one wouldn't be believed to be like two. It makes sense. So now, what do they say from here? From here, you can infer, alma kasavar, it's our big issue. Shnaim shevi, you get me, medina hayam. If two people are bringing the get, right, the two say, b'faneinu nechtav, but they didn't say, b'faneinu nechtav. What's the case? We just said it's going to be pasul in this case. So what do you see? Two shlichim makes it pasul. Okay, meaning, shnaim shevi'u get me medina hayan shrichim sheyomar b'faneinu nechtav, b'faneinu nechtav. If they didn't say the whole text, it wouldn't be good. Okay? Amar le Rabbi Asi, so Rabbi Asi now says to him, ela me'ata reisha, go back a case. In the reisha, okay, meaning just earlier on, what does it say? Shnayim omrim, the case right before it, if you look on your chart from yesterday, you can see. Shnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtav, b'echad omer b'fanai nechtam pasul. For Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Right? So according to what you're saying, two say b'faneinu nechtav, and one says b'fanai nechtam, it's pasul. And Rabbi Yehuda machshir, and we had the whole question yesterday, is it that the two shlichim are the ones who are, right, are the ones who are saying b'faneinu nechtav? So according to this, it could be, right? V'afilu get yotzei mitachat yedei shnehen, even if the two were shlichim, pasle rabbanan, right? Is that what you're saying? He's asking him. Amar le'in. He says, yeah, I am saying that. Okay? In other words, going back to yesterday's case, if two were to say b'faneinu nechtav, and one was to say b'fanai nechtam, and the two were shlichim, it also would be pasul because shnayim shmivim get mebedina hayam. They still need to say fanan achtam according to this statement of Rabbi Ami, which, I, like I said from the beginning, we're going to see now. Okay, he says the opposite. Zimnin eshkachediyati v'ka'amar. Okay, there were other times where he sat before him and he said the opposite. Okay, da'afilu get yosei mitachat yedei edei chatima. Even if the two here, okay, now let's switch it. Even if the two are shlichim, leidei chatima, it would be kasher, okay? Even if they didn't say the whole statement, b'faneinu nechtav, b'faneinu nechtav. Okay, so now we're going to get to the obvious opposite conclusion. Okay, so sometimes he said dafka the opposite. Even if the get went from the edei chatima, it was kasher. Alma kasavar, by the way, if this, you find this whole thing confusing with, like, you know, are the two, are these people the shlichim or that? Clearly, they were all confused about it, right? In other words, there was a lot of lack of clarity about all these cases. It seems very simple when you read the Mishnah, but the whole issue that the Amoraim are bringing in, which you wonder even if the Tanaim thought about so much, is, and this is maybe one of those sugyas where the Tanaim had a certain way of looking at it, and the Amoraim came in. Sometimes the Amoraim are mechadesh concepts that the Tanaim didn't think about, and they're all of a sudden bringing in this whole concept of who were the shlichim. You know, in other words, they weren't relating at all in the Mishnah to were they the shlichim, weren't they the shlichim. It was almost like it was a non-issue. We don't know why. But now they're all trying to read, well, in all these cases, who were the shlichim? Was the shaliach the one, you know, was it one shaliach? Was it two shlichim? Which ones? And they can't figure it out. And that's what's going on here.
The thing that's so confusing to me is the shaliach is basically also an aid. Because he's saying, I witnessed.
Yes, the shaliach is an aid, but he's only an aid if he's with someone else, because edut doesn't work, unless, you know, that's the whole thing. The shaliach can be a single witness that counts as two only if he's the shaliach. Once he's not the shaliach, he can't be an aid, unless he's with someone else, and that's what all these cases are. So we have two people who are, like in the first reading, they're not shlichim, but they're testifying about the chatima, and they function as edim. Whereas in the second option, right, if the edei chatima were the shlichim, and there was one guy who came and said b'fanai nechtav, but he wasn't the shaliach, well, then we can't trust him to be an aid because he's only one aid, and he doesn't have the unique aspect of having been the shaliach. That's the whole issue here.
And it seems like they're also really trying very hard to protect against one witness, by defining him as a shaliach, and he's not good enough. Like they, it seems like
they you're saying they want to protect themselves to show how we distinguish between when we believe one witness and when we don't believe one witness.
That's
fair.
What
that's
this
also
is all about.
Right, is trying to figure out, making sure people also, the whole thing, I mean, everything about this is so that people don't get confused, right? Because the people don't get confused about Kiyum Shtarot Ba'alma and think that you can do regular Kiyum Shtarot with one aid. And then we have, so the people, in case they forget the halacha of Lishma, we have a safeguard so that we make sure they always remember that they have to do Lishma and they won't forget. It's a lot of safeguards here that they're
so
putting up.
It's easy to start saying, oh, well, you can believe he's a shaliach as an aid, you can start believing one witness.
Right, because then it could lead to us believing one witness in all sorts of things. And if a shaliach brings it for some other situation, we might believe him. Exactly. So in other words, that's what, if you take what Shari's saying, in Gittin we're going to see there's a lot of kulas to kind of help women out in situations, but there's always the backlash on the other hand of, well, yes, we want to do this to help the women. On the other hand, we have to be protective of our system, because our system doesn't generally allow for all these kulas. So there's like a balance between that. Okay, so now he's going to say, "Afilu get yotze mitachid yadei chatimah kasher," and therefore, obviously, what's the conclusion here? Alma kasava, right? Even though the two witnesses didn't say b'fanai nechtav, and only one witness who wasn't the shaliach said b'fanai nechtav, it's kasher anyway. So what must he hold? Alma kasava shnayim shiviyu get mi medina hayam ain shuchim shiyamu b'faneinu nechtav faneinu nechtam. So basically, what's the situation? We don't even care that the two shlichim said b'faneinu nechtam, or the one guy said b'fanai nechtav. That's irrelevant. It would be good no matter what. As soon as we have two shlichim, it's great. It's fine. So Amar le Rabbi Asi. So now Rabbi Asi comes and says to him, Ela me'ata, but then what about the earlier case? Reisha dekatan ishnayim shomrim b'faneinu nechtav v'achan omer b'fanai nechtam pasul. For Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, okay, they're really focusing only on Tanakami here in all these questions. Yesterday we focused all on Rabbi Yehuda and why is Machshir. Ta'ama de'ein haget yotze mitachi de shnehen. It must be in the earlier case, why is it pasul? Because even though there were two people who said, b'faneinu nechtav, right, the assumption is those two people must not have been the shlichim. Because if they were the shlichim, Rabbi Chachamim would never have pasuled it. So ha get yotze mitachi yidei shnehem machshirei rabbanan, right? If the two of them would have been shlichim, they said b'faneinu nechtav, then rabbanan would be machshir. Amar lei in, he says, you're right. Okay, what once you have both these readings, whether you take the first reading of Rabbi Ami or the second reading of Rabbi Ami, it makes it very complicated, because he's saying this issue all has to do with, do we believe two witnesses or do we not, and then do they need to say it or do they not? And case number, the last two cases are just the flip cases where it looks like the issue has nothing to do with who is the shaliach. The issue looks like it's one saying tivan, two saying chatima, or two saying chatima and one saying chatima. And it looks like that's the issue. But now, according to these readings of Rabbi Ami, the issue is just in which case, who were the shlichim? In one case, two of them were shlichim, and the other one, they weren't the shlichim, or vice versa. So they really take the Mishnah out of context. In other words, they put this whole thing into a question of, do two witnesses need to say fanai nechtav, as opposed to what I think the Mishnah was actually not exactly meant to be understood this way. Okay, so anyway, so now comes Rabbi Yossi's question. But wait, there were other times where you said the opposite. Well, what's going on here? You told me yesterday or a few months ago, you said the total opposite. Today you're saying shnayim shiviyu mimin get mimi dinat hayam are believed without saying anything. Last time I was here, you told me shnayim shiviyu get mimi dinat hayam are not believed. They have to say the whole thing. So what's going on? So amar le yated hi shalotimot. What does that sound like? Right. This is a peg that's never going to budge. Meaning, yes, I thought that originally. Now I changed my mind,
and I'm not changing my mind again.
Okay. So what's nice about this is you learn about people changing their minds and, people being open to different, rethinking things and changing their minds about things, and that's okay. Although, on the other hand, now he's saying, it won't happen again. this is my final thing, until obviously he rethinks it again and maybe comes up with something different. Okay. Mishnah. Now we're getting into one of the basic, this is a very long-winded sugya, this whole thing about do you keep in the Mishnah and very complicated. Now we're getting back to things that are a little more simple. I don't know if super simple, but also very basic. Okay, these are very basic issues. The first issue we're going to discuss now is zman beget. Okay, the fact that a get has to have a date. Okay, and now we're going to see two basic opinions as to why a get needs a date. First, we're going to see from the Mishnah things about, in other words, the Mishnah assumes there's a date. The question is going to be, what if certain cases happen? And then the Gemara is going to come and explain, well, what's the reason for a get bichlal, and therefore, why would there be a machloka in the Mishnah, etc. Nichtav biyom v'nechtam balayla. Let's say you sign it during the day. I'm sorry, you write the get during the day, and you sign it at night. I'm sorry. It's written during the day, you sign it during the day. Balayla v'nechtam balayla. You write it at night, and you sign it at night. Balayla v'nechtam bayom. You write it at night, but you sign it the next day. Okay, which, by the way, is the same day, halachically. So it shouldn't make a difference, right? It's the same date.
It's about to be the whole issue, yes.
Kasher. That's all kasher. Because you're basically, in all these cases, you're on the same day. When it's signed, it's the same day it was written. Bayom, by the way, you can think about this in general, right? When you write documents, you write a date on them, and sometimes they don't get signed. I just did this. I signed something. We were sending a letter to the Riyadh from a bunch of parents. It took me like a month to get it all signed. I realized I'm handing this in now, you know, with the date of November, and we're signing it in December. You know, obviously for that there were no real ramifications, but this happens very often that until you actually sign the document, time passes and the date is no longer relevant. Bayom v'nachtam balayla pasul. But if you write it during the day and you sign it at night where it's no longer the same date, then it's pasul. Rabbi Shimon machshir. He thinks it's still okay. Shaya Rabbi Shimon omer, kol agitin shenechtevu bayom venechtemu balayla psulim. Remember I told you that gitin sometimes means shtar? Here it means general. All documents that were written during the day and signed at night are no good. Chutz migitei nashim. This is the exception to the rule. Okay, we're going to see soon why it's the exception to the rule. Okay, before we even start, I want to talk about regular documents. What's the issue with regular documents? We talked about this many times. Nechasim mishuabadim. What does that mean? That if we take out a loan, right, I take out a loan, then anything that I sell from that day on, you have rights to go take the money from. Okay, if I sign a document, okay? Now, if I sign a document, I put a date on. So now we know that any property that I sold from that date, you can now collect. Let's say we wrote the document out that I'm taking out a loan, but we didn't actually sign the document for another week. And then I sold some property that week. So if the date on the shtar said, you know, the first of the month, and we actually did the sale on the loan on the 7th of the month, then you go and collect from something that I sold on the 2nd of the month. Even though that wasn't really accurate because our loan only happened on the 7th of the month. So how could you collect my property from the 2nd? So that's why, okay, or even it was nechtam bayom and nechtam balayla. Okay, I'm sorry, yeah. If we wrote it on this 1st and then it already became the 2nd because it was nighttime, and then there was some property sold on the 1st, right, that I sold on the 1st, you could go collect from there saying it's the 1st. And I say, but no, you know, in other words, the owner of that property, like, in other words, it's not accurate. You basically be collecting from property that you're not allowed to collect from because the loan actually only happened the next day. So that's why it doesn't work in any other shtarot. Gitin is going to be a little different because it's not necessarily, although we'll see, a financial document. Right, it's a document that breaks between them. So there might not necessarily be an issue of financial things here. We'll see. Maybe it is. That's what we're going to talk about. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon thinks it's not an issue for Gitei Nashim. Before we get into what's the machloket in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Chachamim, we have to understand why bichlal do we need zman in get? Okay, itmar. There's a machloket Tanaim about this. Mipnei matik nuzman begitin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishum Bat Achoto. Now, if you remember this case, but we had this, this came up earlier in Yevamot. There's a concern that someone's married to his niece, which is allowed. Okay, you can be married to your sister's daughter. It's not one of the Arayot. In which case, the assumption is since they're related, besides being married to each other, they're related even outside of marriage, that it'll have more Rachmanut on her. Okay? And let's say she decides to go sleep with another man. Now, she's supposed to get killed for that, okay? But he feels bad, and he doesn't want her to get killed. So what does he do? He gives her a get without a date, right? Because you don't need a date, let's say. And then this is the whole reason why do you need a date? Because if you didn't need a date, he give her a get without a date. They bring it to court. She claimed that the get was before the znut happened, okay? Whether he's worried about her getting chenek or the bani mamzerim or whatever it might be. And he wants to protect her. So what does he do? He gives her a get and he says, oh yeah, we were divorced then. Okay? So we're worried about this bada choto case. And that's why you need zman beget. But that's, okay? So now, later we'll get to, okay, so why is there a machloket about this case? Why is it different than shar shtar? Rish Lakish amar mishum peirot. What's peirot? If you remember, the wife has what's called nichse melug. It's stuff she comes into the marriage with, and he gets, it's the stuff that she owns, let's say, land. He gets all the peirot of that land, all the proceeds. Everything that comes from the land, he gets while they're married. Obviously, as soon as they get divorced, it's not his anymore. So let's say he sold fruits from the, or yeah, it doesn't have to be fruits. He sold any kind of crops from the land and took the money for it. And she claims, hey, you sold them after the get. Okay? And he says, what's the issue? Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Go prove it. How can she prove it if there's no date in the get? So therefore, you need a date in the get so she can easily prove from what point the peirot are hers and not his. And that if he were to have sold some of her property, you know, or some of the produce from the property, she could claim it back very easily. Okay? So, by the way, you can see here, this is another case where you see that the rabbis are protecting women from men taking advantage of them. Because, right, the assumption is, no one exactly knows, right? You can imagine after a divorce, it's complicated to split everything and who gets what and whose property was whose. You can easily see him taking her property and selling it and claiming it was his own. And for her to now prove that it was hers and that he sold it from past the time is going to be complicated.
It's hard to even see the connection between this machloket and the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking about like day and night.
So we're going to get to that, okay? So now, Rish Lakish, my time, alo amar ka Rabbi Yochanan. So first we're just dealing with this man. So why did Rish Lakish think it was Mishum Barachoto? So, amar lecha, znut lo shchicha. It's not the most common case, okay? It's not the most common case that, number one, the person's married to their niece and want to have rachmanut on her, and then that she's going to go sleep with some other man. And it's not the most common occurrence that people go sleep with an eshadish, and we're not going to go mi mitaken zman begitin just because of some rare case. Okay? By the way, this I'm just thinking right now, it's like with a prenup, right? And this could be a good argument against a prenup, even though I think everyone should sign a prenup. But you could say, and I think, by the way, a lot of people don't sign prenups because they think, this isn't relevant to me. It's so lo shchicha, right, that who cares, right? And why are we going to institute that everybody has to sign a prenup for such a, you know, a rare occurrence? Now, obviously, it's not a good argument because when that occurrence does happen, it's horrible, and therefore we need to prevent it. So, you know, maybe you wouldn't say the same thing here because here it's not someone suffering. It's just, you know, we're trying to protect someone from getting killed for znut. But anyway, even where, if you look in Tosfot for a second, I actually didn't read this before, but I see it right now. Tosfot says, Perush znut be'edim v'hatra'a lo shchiach. It's not that znut is not lo shchiach, but having znut with witnesses and the warning before and all that is really lo shchiach. In other words, how often do you catch someone before they're about to sleep with someone and you have witnesses and you warn them and then you see them actually sleeping together? You know, that also could be. Okay. It's interesting. So he says, I should have read this before. Anyway, he says, you can't say that znudis lo shachiach because what was the first mission ketubot? That the betulaz nisei b'yom revi'i, so that if he had a tanah betulim, that she had slept with someone else, he could bring it to the court. So there you see they're instituting a takana for the concern that a woman was sleeping around. So how could you say that it's not shachiach when we institute other takanot to prevent, you know, to avoid situations like that? That's a good question. And yeah, it's a good, so therefore he adds in that it must be edim and hatra, as opposed to the case in, you know, the Dan Betulim where there weren't edim and hatra about her snoot. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan, my time alone, Mar Karish Lakish. So why did he think about the payroad? Because here there's a basic machloket about payroad. What do we say? Kasavar. This whole assumption of it being peirot was assuming that what? That when does she get peirot from? If we're going to go by the date, right? They instituted the date of peirot. Why? Because the peirot are from the time that you write the get, right? So here, kasavar yesh lebal perot ad sha'at nitina. Okay, it's not the date of the ktiva of the get, it's the date of the giving of the get, the date she gets the get. Okay, not even the chatima. It's further than that, right? There's the ktiva, there's the chatima, and then there's the nitina.
Wait,
there's three stages.
If there isn't a date on the nitina, then you still undercut your whole argument.
Ah, so how do you prove the nitina? You bring your two Eide Mesira. And as you have to have, she has to bring the Eide Mesira to prove it. It won't help her to have the get, the date and the get, because the husband will say, yeah, that's the date I wrote the get, but I didn't give her the get for another few weeks. So then she can't prove anything. So basically, he says, since it's not going to help her anyway to have a date written in the get, because the date of the get isn't going to help. She needs to bring the Eide Mesira, the ones who saw the gerushin happen. So therefore, he doesn't think that the issue is peirot. That's Rabbi Yochanan. So bishlama the Rish Lakish, mishum hachi kamach shir Rabbi Shimon. So now Rish Lakish makes sense. Because what? What do you say? That's why Rabbi Shimon said he was machshir a get without, if it was nechtam b'yom and nechtam b'layla, because he's not worried about the payrot issue, because the payrot issue goes by the shat netina. And Tanakama holds, no, it goes by the shat ktiva. That's the machloka between them. Is it shat ktiva or is it shat netina? And that's why they have a machloka in the Mishnah. Ela l'Rabbi Yochanan, if it's bad achoto, my time is Rabbi Shimon de machshir. Why does Rabbi Shimon say it's okay? Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan, aliba de Rabbi Shimon lo ka'amina. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh yeah, I don't hold like Rabbi Shimon. Ki ka'amina aliba de Rabbanan. Okay? So he says, I don't even hold like Rabbi Shimon. In other words, I think it's Shema Yachpel bat achoto, and therefore, if the date doesn't match the time it was signed, it's no good. Okay? Because I think this has to do with Shema Yachpel bat achoto, right? The whole Havrachmanut on his niece, and therefore the date has to be the right date. Otherwise, we're going to get into trouble. And I just don't. Right, I don't hold by Rabbi Shimon Shita, so I don't even need to explain it. So now they say, okay. So bishlama Rabbi Yochanan, hainu deika bein Rabbi Shimon l'Rabbanan. So now they're saying, okay. Well, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. The Rabbi Shimon holds that the issue is peirot, and Chachamim hold that the issue is the znut issue, the niece. Ela l'Rish Lakish, my ika ben Rabbi Shimon l'Rabbanan. So according to Rish Lakish, what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan? So what's the difference? We already kind of explained this. Perei demishat ktiva va'ad shat chatima ika benayu. Okay, so it's peirot that were sold in between the time of the writing until the time of the signing. That's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. In other words, Rabbi Shimon would say that if you have peirot from the time they were written until the time they were signed, right? Rabbi Shimon holds that the get is kasher, so he would hold that the peirot all go by the shat ktiva, and therefore if you sign it the next day, we don't care. Because the peirot, right? In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, peirot start ticking from shat. Right, the peirot go to the wife from shat ktiva, and therefore the only thing that really matters is the date at the time you wrote the get. According to Chachamim, it's shat chatima. Okay, and therefore, if you wrote it during the day and you signed it at night, then your date is no longer accurate. Okay, and then you have a problem. So now they're going to say v'ha ipcha shaminan lehu. But wait a minute, don't we see? Okay, so now according to this. Okay, let's just go back to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish holds that you need peirot, right? The peirot are going to be from the time of, 1 second, he's going to say, right, my kasavar yes about peirot mishat netina. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry. Now we're going to do Rish Lakish. Okay, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, according to this, Rabbi Yochanan said, right, Rabbi Yochanan, why didn't he say like Rish Lakish? Because he thinks that the peirot are mishat netina. And Rish Lakish thinks that the peirot are from shat ktiva. Right? Okay, that's what we said. So now, they're going to say, baha ipcha shaminan lehu. Okay, I just want to clarify 1 second. Rish Lakish would say it's from Rish Lakish parrot ad shat netina, and then Rish Lakish would say it's from shat ketiva. Right, the truth is it's not clear whether he would say ketiva or chatima. Okay, we're going to see now. Okay, so now they say, v'ha'ib chashamin on lehu. But if that's the way we set it up, the Rish Lakish would say from ketiva or chatima, Rabbi Yochanan would say from nitina, we actually see the opposite. De'itmar me'ematay mosi'in leperot, Rabbi Yochanan amar mishat ketiva, okay, and Rish Lakish amar mishat nitina. Uh-oh. We have some other place, not in our sugya, where it actually switches the two shitot. So what's the answer?
Does it say where?
It doesn't say where. It just says, it's known. But this is, they could say, what we saw here was, why did they metaken zman begitin? And from there we got to their conclusions about this. The Rish Lakish would say, let's say ktiva, and Rabbi Yochanan would say netina, and now we see somewhere else it says exactly the opposite. So what do they say? What do we say when they do these things often? Ipuch. Flip it. They obviously brought down and in the wrong Masoret. It should be the opposite. Okay? In other words, when they said that Rish Lakish said Nitina, Rabbi Yochanan said Ketiva, they obviously flipped it. And it really should be Rish Lakish said Ketiva, Rabbi Yochanan said Nitina. Okay? In other words, it's like sometimes when you can't, like there's difficult vocabulary words, and sometimes you think something is the exact opposite of what it means, and you know they are associated with this machloket, and you just got confused to who said what.
But how do you know which one you're getting confused with?
Right, you don't know which one, actually, right? It's unclear exactly when they say ipuch, which one they want to flip, okay? Sometimes it just goes by what they knew to be the case. Like certain ones, they knew for sure this was it, who held what, and the other one maybe they were not clear about. I'm assuming that they're ipuching this one, the new one, but I could be wrong. Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Gimel gitim psulim v'im niseit havlag kasher. We saw reference to this before. There's three types of gitim that are psulim, but if the woman got married based on this get, the vlag would be okay. Okay, she wouldn't be considered, right? If the get's pasul, generally what do we say? She's married. If she goes and marries someone else, the kid's going to be a mom's heir. But in these cases, yes, it's pasul, but it's only pasul midrabanan, and therefore it's only pasul lechatchila that we're not going to let her get married based on this. But if she already got married and had kids, we're going to treat the kid as if he's a kosher vlad. We're not going to go crazy about it. And one of those things was what? Zman, okay? It's a get that doesn't have a date on it. So now, if a get that doesn't have a date, b'dieved, is okay, then mahoilu chachamim b'takanatan. In other words, right? How does that help us? Because if someone wants to be yachpel batachoto, if b'dieved it'll be accepted, then he'll just do it, right? He'll write this get anyway. He won't put a date. He knows that lechatchila this isn't good, but b'dieved they'll let it through. She can, you know, she can prove her kid's okay, or even for the payroll. In other words, she could write, right? He could write a get and claim that, oh yeah, well it wasn't from that date, and I get the payroll. So therefore, ma'awilu chakamim tzakanatan. So what do they say? Ahanu de lechatchila lo tinasei. It works in the sense that lechatchila she can't get married based on this. So it works in many cases because we don't allow her to get married based on this. Yes, it's true. If you really want to, you could trick the system, but it does work for the most part. Gazia lizman di devi yahave nihale mai. What if he cuts out the date on it? Like they write a get. As the assumption is also, and some people explain, ahanu lechatchila lo tinasei also means that you're not going to find a sofer who's going to be willing to write you a shtar. Because remember, most people, they didn't write their own gitin. They went to a sofer and they went, right? So you're not going to find a sofer who's going to be willing to write it without a get. So lechatchila, in most cases, it's going to work.
Without a date.
Without a date, sorry. So let's say he writes you, the sofer writes it, and then you cut out that part of the get. Okay, and obviously you make it so that no one notices that you cut it out, right? So Gazi Lamandi Devi Yave Niele, and then he gives it to her without a date. Mai. Amarle, Leramai Lo Cheshinan. We don't worry. We're not worried Ad Kedei Kach that someone's going to actually cut out the date on the shtar. So Bidi Evid, it really would work because we don't go Ad Kedei Kach to worry. Katuv Bo Shavua, Shana, Chodesh, Shabbat. Let's say it just says, it doesn't say, you know, Yud Chet Tevet Tav Shin Ayin Vav, okay, today's date. But it says, we're in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Or it says, we're in, you know, it just says the year Tav Shin Ayin Vav. Or it just says Tevet Tav Shin Ayin Vav. Or it says, Shavua of, you know, second week of Tevet Tav Shin Ayin Vav. Okay, let's say it said something like that. Mai. Would it work? Amar Le Kasher. They said, yeah, it does work. So again, they say, Umahu ilu chachamim b'takanatan. Because you could still then, right, you still have the issue of the payrot. First, for sure, if you're talking about Shemitah cycles, I mean, that's a 7-year difference. If you're talking about years, it's a year difference. If you're right? In other words, that's a very broad date. There's a lot of room for maneuverability there. So what do they say? No, ahane l'shavua d'kameh l'shavua d'batrei. It works to tell you about, it wasn't, right? It easily clarifies for us the 7 years before this. Okay? Or also the one after this. Or ilo temahachi, okay, and obviously for the, right, Shavua, by the way, there means not a week, right? It means a Shemitah cycle. Shabbat means a week. Shabbat is a week, like Hayom Yom Shishi B'Shabbat, in the week. Okay, so now, what do they say? Why do we have to say, we assume that it works, you know, at least it works for most of the time. De'ilo te, you know, for a part of the time, and that's still good. De'ilo te mahachi yoma gufe. Even if you just have a date, it still creates a problem. Why? Mi adina imitzafra imipanya. If you write, you chetevet, we were divorced, right? Let's say I sold something, you know, let's say the husband sold payroll at some point during the day of Yud Chet. So how would we prove, right? I'm still stuck. I can't prove that it was before or after the divorce, right? I want to prove it happened after the divorce. And he says, no, we got divorced in the evening, and this was in the morning, right? I sold it in the morning before the divorce. So even if you have the right date, it's still, there's still room to play around. So therefore, as long as it has some sort of a date, it still can at least help us clarify information from either before or after that time period. Even if it's not perfect.
A specific hour, because even though they had Shad's money, they didn't think in that kind of precision.
Right, I think so too, exactly. In other words, today it would be different. You would just put a time. And you would write exact time, and it would say the time and the date, and it would be obvious if you were worried about this. But in those days, I agree with Ruth. I think that's just not the way they function. They didn't function on, right? You see, the way they describe time is always the time the Kohanim eat their truma, or the time that the Ani goes to eat his bread, and the time they describe time in functioning, right? Functionability rather than an actual time. So therefore, they're saying this date, no matter what, isn't perfect. It's not going to resolve all your issues. This is like a typical Takana Chachamim. Takana Chachamim is to generally prevent people from doing things the wrong way. It can't totally prevent people. Someone who wants to mess with the system will mess with the system anyway, right? We know this about everything. You know, you have systems that try to prevent things, but people who are real Ramayim, they can figure out ways around it, and you're right. Okay, so it can never be perfect anyway. So as long as there's some sort of data, it actually would work. So they say here, so imi tzafri imi pan, you wouldn't know whether it was morning or evening. Elali, so therefore, what is it coming for if it can't tell you exact? Because it's coming to tell you, liyoma de kameh, that the day before they weren't divorced, or liyoma de batrei, they were divorced, right? The day after they are divorced. It doesn't tell you much about that day itself. So hachanami, likewise, we'll say in this other case, ahane l'shavua de kameh, l'shavua de batrei. It'll tell you that the 7 years before that, right, and anything obviously before that, they weren't divorced. And anything after that, they were divorced, okay? So, Shavua, I think, by the way, it means, I'm thinking now, it's not like first year of the Shemitah cycle. I think it means, the 7th Shemitah cycle or the 27th Shemitah cycle. Or, you know, it's telling you about a whole Shemitah cycle. In other words, we got divorced in the, you know, however they counted Shemitah cycles from the beginning. So it tells you about a 7-year period, basically. And it tells you that in this Shemitah cycle, we were divorced. The Shemitah cycle before, we weren't. Then the Shemitah cycle after, we were. But, you know, it only tells you about the Shemitah cycle, which is obviously a bit extreme. It doesn't help you for too much. But they're saying even that, at least it's some sort of distinction. It gives you some way to distinguish. And I think in the end, they're really doing this to kind of tell you that even the day is problematic and it doesn't resolve it 100% because you're still stuck with only this day. You know, in other words, you have everything before this day and after this day, but the day itself is still under, you know, will be questionable. It won't resolve it entirely. Okay.